Amen. All right. Look at someone next to you and say, how did you sleep last night? Go ahead. I hope you guys slept okay. Did anybody sleep good last night? Anybody not so good? Oh, you slept. Good job. She's like, I did. Anybody not sleep good last night? Yeah, I knew there'd be some hands. Whew, man, sleep is important. I'll tell you, I remember back when I was a kid and I used to sleep so good. Oh, man. Do you remember those days? Just all night. I mean, I'm talking like deep, sound, peaceful, get up refreshed, uninterrupted sleep. Amen? Come on, I long for that. I don't know the last time I felt that way. I honestly don't. But you know, when I was young, I don't know how you sleep, but I slept in total silence. Total silence, right? No noise whatsoever. Then I got married. Yeah. And it was a whole new experience. My wife slept in a windstorm. No joke, right? Now we sleep with an overhead fan on full blast and the bathroom fan on as well. And it's like, we kind of argue about this, and I say, well, what if someone's breaking into the house? I can't hear it with all this noise. And she's like, I don't want to hear if anyone's breaking into the house, right? So we just have this thing. There were some nights early on in our marriage when I just stared. I just stared up at the ceiling fan like that. I mean, yeah, things change, right? When you get married, I tell you, stuff you weren't ready for. And I think, how does anyone sleep with this hurricane above my head? But you know what happened over time to me? I got used to the noise. I did. And I actually bought a noise machine. Can you believe that? I never thought I'd see the day, but I bought a noise machine. And that thing, it's this little thing, it travels everywhere we go now. The noise. I bring it. I never used to be that way. Now I bring the noise with me. Now, it may sound strange, but being a Christian is a little bit like that. Learning to live in the middle of all the noise and still figuring out how to sleep good at night. That's what we go through sometimes. So let's get into the story for today. Mark chapter 4. We're all the way down in verse 35. We're going to start there. But before we do, let's remember that we've just come from some of the greatest teachings we've ever heard. Jesus standing in a boat, right? Preaching to everyone on the shoreline. They were crowding him so much, teaching the parable of the sower and teaching about seeds growing into great faith in our lives, right? And then he had a long day without even stepping back on shore, right? Here's what it says, verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. I think we have that scripture there. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. All right, so they're in the boat, and they just take off. Now, 700 feet below sea level sits the Sea of Galilee, which is where they were. It's known for sudden storms crashing over its surface. And the Sea of Galilee sits in what is called a rift valley. Okay, meaning it sits on a complicated network of fault lines. And with all the cold air coming across the mountains and mixing up with the warm air over the lake, there can be some dramatic pressure changes. And it's got all kinds of stuff happening above it, the sea, and all kinds of stuff happening below it. Well, welcome to the lowest freshwater lake in the world, where anything can happen at a moment's notice. And this is where Jesus has decided to go. And sure enough, everybody say, sure enough. Sure enough. Sure enough. The Rift Valley doesn't disappoint, verse 37. It says, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad you're getting some good sleep. Right? Sudden grave danger and chaos and noise came from out of nowhere. How did this man sleep through this? I could have never slept through that. Okay? The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Can you just picture this? It's so vivid, right? These guys are getting slaughtered by the wind and the waves, and then they're beginning to question Jesus through the storm. And you know, sometimes the things we hear about faith, they are meant to be put into practice immediately after we hear them. Amen? And that was the case here. These guys are scared out of their minds. And you know, when we're scared, sometimes out of fear, you start asking ridiculous questions. Like, don't you care if we drown? Right? Don't you care about my situation? Don't you care, Lord? Don't you care? Well, let's just hit pause for a minute here and go back through briefly what we've already been through in Mark. The disciples have seen amazing things already. Let's reflect. They saw Jesus baptized, and they heard a voice from heaven confirming his identity. And they heard that the voice of the one calling from the wilderness, right? John the Baptist confirming his identity. They witnessed impure spirits driven out of people, healing the sick and the possessed and the lame long after sunset, late into the nights. They did these things, and that's just chapter 1 of Mark. And they saw the paralyzed man walk again. They saw the crippled man made well again. They saw the leprous man purified again. They heard that Jesus had the power to forgive, and they saw a demonstration that proved it. But here, in the middle of the storm, they just forgot everything in one moment of fury, like it was all just cast overboard. A pastor I was reading wrote this: how typical of human nature. We believe in a Christ who works wonders. We believe theoretically in his supernatural power. But when the actual crisis arises, we are terrified. What happens to our faith when we get in those tough valleys in life? What really comes up from the depths is what comes up from the depths of our hearts in these situations. Fear and insecurity. And we have all been there. And I have been there. Out in the middle of the storm, trying to figure out how to bail out of the situation. And at times, I've given over to the worst part, which is questioning God's care for me. And this is a direct attack on our faith, to question how much God loves us. That's not in question, but it's a direct attack on our faith. Now, if we focus on Jesus in this story, always a good thing to do, focus on Jesus, right? He handles this stuff differently. Verse 39. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And it's interesting that in this very same situation, while the boat is just being swamped and waves are coming over the sides, Jesus is asking a question too. Verse 40, he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now let's just all take a deep breath, okay? Let's do that. Can we do that? You know what I want in my heart? I just want calmness. I want there to be peace. I'm tired of storms. Are you tired of storms? Tired of how much they affect me and my faith? I hate it. I want there to be peace. But honestly, a lot of times there isn't much we can do about the storms in life, right? It's the stuff that goes on in the world. It's the stuff that is out of our control. And there's a lot of those kind of things. And we just try to navigate it the best that we can. But the best thing I can do is to learn to face it with complete trust in Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus slept through a lot more than a ceiling fan and a sound machine. Okay? He slept through the storm, meaning it didn't bother him. And if it didn't bother him, it doesn't have to bother us. I read this story, and this is a very famous story we've read so many times, but I really think this story is a great way to describe trying to be a Christian. Right? You'll find peace at times in your Christian walk, but also the Christian life will be filled with entering the rift valleys where the winds and the waves of culture, they all compile at the lowest point. And there we find ourselves out in the middle of the world system, full of the winds of change. And at the same time, we're trying to live for the kingdom of God. And finding our faith in the middle of all of that is what it's all about. I'm so grateful for Scripture in the hard moments in life. I'm so grateful for example, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And forever. It doesn't say tomorrow. It says forever. Boy, that's encouraging. God's plan for us is not just about tomorrow. It's about forever. And he is the same. He is, what does that tell us? He is consistent. When our world is not, when it's out of control, He is consistent. Amen. That's just so encouraging to my heart when I go through hard things. This life is not about living a life without any trouble and noise. It's about learning to find the deep peace, right? The rest in Jesus, no matter what happens in this life. True peace in our hearts is complete trust in God in all circumstances. Amen. The Bible teaches us so many things. Let me read from Ephesians chapter 4. Just listen to this. It says, we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, a mature body in Him who is the head, that is Christ. Learning to make it through this life in the middle of the storms and even things in our culture, they come and go, and not being so influenced by the changing winds of everything, but trusting in the Lord. The truth is, these aren't places I love to find myself in, but I find myself in them. But Jesus has no problem being Lord over these situations. He's got it under control. Amen. Now, let's observe some fascinating points about this passage. I want you to notice this. The storm is calm now. The storm's calm. Jesus stands up, rebukes it. It's calm. But how are the disciples feeling? Yeah, they were still terrified. That's pretty crazy. And as they talked with one another, right, the storm is calm. It's over. It's over. They're talking with one another about who Jesus really is, and they were more terrified of the man in the boat than of the storm. They couldn't explain what had just happened. They couldn't explain what they just saw. You know, this is more than a miracle. Okay, the paralyzed man. Okay, I accept that as a miracle, right? But this is like bigger. I don't know what to call this. It's just bigger. He has power over all creation. I mean, that's a miracle in our eyes. It's not a miracle in His eyes. He made this stuff. He has power over it. We're just kind of catching up to who God is, right? Now, imagine if Jesus, in His full majesty, knocked at your front door. Hello? Anybody in there? What would you say? Hey, do you want to come in for some coffee? Would you say that? No. In His full majesty, you would fall down in terror if you saw that. As every man did in the Bible, even at the sight of an angel. Actually, I think the women handled it a lot better in the Bible. They were like, I got this. The men just freaked out. They're like, I'm going to die. The women are like, your will be done, Lord. You know? They're awesome. One commentary put it this way, what we actually fear the most is the holiness of God. Think about that. When we understand God's holiness, who God really is, who is this? Even the wind and waves obey Him. Man, holy, 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 as the angels sang around His throne. And this God came down to ride out the storms of life with us. Wow, when we get that, then we finally understand that there is nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. It is the holiness of Jesus Christ that has truly protected us from the storm. Not the gale force winds of Galilee, but from the violent storm of our sin and from the raging violence in this world that wants to drag us down to the bottom of hell. And it's only by the grace of God and by His holiness that we are saved from that outcome, that absolute disaster. And it's easy to say, and I've said this, it's easy to say that we put our complete trust in Him when we're just a little offshore in the boat, when we're listening to fine-sounding sermons and parables, and we're hearing the good news, we're seeing the crowds. I mean, that's all comforting. But Jesus was comfortable in the middle of the furious squall. He was all pressed into a pillow. And we need to get comfortable in Jesus like that. Amen? Now, here's the second observation I want to make. You might say, well, hey, let's give them some credit. They called upon Jesus. At least they did that. Like, where are you, Lord? I feel like I'm bailing out my boat here and I could use a little help. Have you ever felt that way? Right? It's good to call upon the Lord, but the question is, in what way did they call upon the Lord? They didn't call upon Him in faith. They called upon Him in fear. See that? As many people often do, and as I have done so many times, and many people, just like His closest disciples, call upon Jesus in a panic. If something crazy goes in the world, man, people come back to church. Because we call upon Him in a panic. And I've done the same thing. Right? But if the disciples truly had the faith they needed for this situation, they may have left Him to get some sleep. They may have said, hey, let's just let Jesus sleep. He's tired. He preached all day. And Peter could have just stood up in the storm and just told everybody, you know what? He's right here with us. We're going to be just fine. That's what he could have done. Oh, man. I think about what I could have done so many times. But you know, it doesn't matter. I have to learn. I have to learn about what to do. And I've had to really think about this question. Do I call upon Jesus in fear? Or do I call upon Him in faith? Today, maybe it feels like you're going through a storm. And maybe you feel like Jesus is asleep in your life. But I want to tell you that He cares about you. He cares about your situation, and He wants your faith to grow. One pastor said it this way, God doesn't always take us into storms to discipline us, but to disciple us. To disciple us. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 6, listen to this. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise. To prove the genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Amen. I want to just invite the worship team to come back up, and I have a few more things to say, but we're going to just close out this service today in praise to Him. And I want you to lift your voices and lift your hands and thank God for the situation that you're going through. And ask yourself what to learn from it. What should our faith look like when it's fully mature? It should be unafraid. Unafraid. Because we know Jesus is with us. And if you find fear has taken over your life today, Jesus has one question for you. Why are you so afraid? You don't have to be. That is the question to ask yourself today. And that's what I want to leave you with today. And I encourage you to seek out that answer this week in God's Word, in prayer. Why are you so afraid? And if you put your complete faith in Him, you are going to find that there is nothing to worry about. Right? What a challenge for our faith today. What are we afraid of? Jesus has shown us that not only does He have the power to forgive sins and the power to heal our broken bodies, but He also has authority and power over all creation. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, just help our hearts to trust You. The more we seek to know You, Jesus, the more that fear in us will be quieted. And the more we're able to look at our situations and face our situations, the rifts and the storms, and we can tell them, quiet, be still, because we know that You will take care of them. And God, we're thankful that You took care of the greatest storm that ever came at us. You took our sin upon Yourself. And You died in our place. And You gave us forgiveness. God, You rescued all of us. Glory to the name of the One over all creation. Amen.